We want to thank our sponsor, Great Western Bank, a proud supporter of the Wildcast podcast. At Great Western Bank, they focus on serving family-owned businesses and their overall financial needs. Whether your company needs increased working capital, equipment or SBA financing, purchasing or renovating a building or construction financing, Great Western Bank has the expertise to work through your specific financial needs. Visit the Great Western Bank branch on Campbell between Glen and Fort Lowell or call 520-325-1135 to talk to any of the business bankers about your specific needs. Member FDIC.
From the Arizona Daily Star and Tucson.com, this is the Wildcast.
Hey, what's up? Welcome to another episode of the Wildcast podcast. Justin Spears here with Michael Lev, and we're getting ready for the Arizona-Oregon game this Saturday. So we're talking all things U of A football, all things Pac-12 football right here on the Wildcast podcast. Before we get into the details about the game coming up, make sure you go to the Wildcaster app, download it. It's free and available on the App Store and Google Play. You don't need a subscription to the Arizona Daily Star. All the coverage on your Arizona Wildcats is all at your fingertips. That is the Wildcaster app. Also, make sure, if you haven't yet, subscribe, rate, and review this podcast on Apple Podcasts. So, Lev, we are hanging out at the Arizona Daily Star talking all things Arizona Wildcats football. And for the first time, and I think since you started here, you're going to be missing a road game. We're going to be missing a road game. You missed a road game against Stanford. I filled in for you, but I'm not going to Eugene. You're not going to Eugene. It's kind of a weird feeling.
It is. And just so everybody knows, like, we're not happy about this situation. It is a direct result of mainly the fact that I have a broken kneecap that's still healing. And it's sort of a taxing trip with some difficult logistics. Add in the fact that it's an 8:30 local, you know, Tucson time start. Arizona's an underdog by 28 points. It was just sort of all of those factors coming together. To assure everybody, we are still going to have complete coverage of the game, even if we're not on site. We'll have updates during the game, after the game, the day after the game, all that good stuff. We will have it covered as best we can from a remote location. And we also hope, that, you know, this never happens again. Yeah. I will try to avoid getting hit in the knee by a line drive in the future. I promise.
Softball league, man.
Softball. It's a misnomer, man. It doesn't feel soft when it cracks your kneecap.
But Lev, you're on pace for a speedy recovery.
Yes.
So you're no longer on the IR.
I'm on IR designated to return, I think.
Okay.
That's what they call it in the NFL, right?
You're close, though.
Yeah.
But Lev, this is a big game for both schools, for both Arizona and Oregon. For the Wildcats, you look at them, I mean, they have three games left in the season. They got number 6 Oregon. They got Utah at home, another team knocking on the door at the college football playoff. And then you also have ASU on the road in Tempe. So these are three uphill games for the Arizona Wildcats. And they need to win 2 out of the 3 if they want to go to a bowl game. What are the chances they win 2 games over the next 3 weeks?
Man, I don't know, what, 10% chance maybe?
That's a little nice.
Do you think that's generous?
Yeah, how much of that percent is on the ASU game?
Yeah, well, I mean, that's the most winnable one, you would say, right?
9%.
For sure. 9 of the 10%. That's the most winnable one, looking ahead. ASU's struggling right now. They've got a 3-game losing streak. They've had some injury issues. Some of their youth has just sort of appeared here late in the season. They're probably more talented team overall than Arizona, but you can envision Arizona winning that game. It's a rivalry game. It's always close. Each of the last 2 years, they had a big lead on ASU in the first half and then blew it in the second half. I mean, Oregon and Utah is a different story. I mean, these are clearly, no doubt about it, the top two teams in the conference. They are both legitimate contenders for the college football playoff. I think this week's assignment is tougher in one sense because you have to go on the road to Autzen Stadium. I think next week's assignment is difficult in a different sense because Utah, I think, is the most physical, hard-hitting team in the league. And they're going to bring that brand of football to Tucson. Weird things have happened in the past in that particular matchup, especially when it's here. But first things first, Oregon.
Yeah.
Tough task. Really tough task.
Can't overlook them.
The hardest place to play in the league. Weather's going to be a factor, you know, to an extent. It'll probably be 48 degrees and raining as it usually is up there. It's going to be really loud. And, you know, unfortunately for the Wildcats, the Ducks are very locked in on this game in large part because of what happened last year. Maybe you can remind some of the people what some of the things that happened in Tucson when these two teams met last year.
To put it kindly, Arizona thumped Oregon. And Tristan Cooper had that hard hit on, was it Dylan Mitchell?
Dylan Mitchell, yep.
Knocked him out of the game. And was it a dirty hit? I don't think so. I thought Tristan Cooper had a pretty clean hit on him.
I don't think it was the hit so much as when he said a couple days later, like, yeah, I kind of wanted to knock him out of the game. Like, which he was just being honest because Tristan Cooper is honest and we really appreciate that about him. But needless to say, when that sort of thing gets aggregated and put into a headline, you know, like he said, like, if I knock him out, it'll be great. That doesn't go over well in Eugene, which you would expect, which is just fine. You know what? It's sort of, you know, Dylan Mitchell, I don't think has any sort of long-term repercussions from this situation. It's sort of a fun, you know, rivalry type thing. There's going to be a lot of jeering and booing, of Tristan, but, you know, one of their guys, Jalen Redd, said this week, like, we haven't forgotten, you know, we remember everything that happened last year. It's going to be a war out there. So, that would have me concerned, you know, cause, you know, one of the things you kind of hope for in a game like this is that the other team is maybe looking ahead to some other game or they're not totally taking you seriously. You know, I don't think that's going to be the case at all.
I don't know why, when you say the Oregon's holding that grudge, have you ever seen the movie Superbad?
Of course. Many times. One of my favorites. Yeah.
When they're on the soccer field and was it James Franco's little brother? He was just like a side character and they're sitting there talking on the soccer field. And Jonah Hill looks at him and says, why don't you go pee your pants again? And he turns around. He's like, that was like 8 years ago. He said, people don't forget. I don't know why that just randomly popped in my head. But
So this is just 1 year ago.
This is just a year ago.
And what's really weird about it is how does that happen? Like, how does Arizona destroy Oregon? And here we are a year later, and the script is totally flipped around. And if you look at the rosters, the majority of the players are back. On both sides, like what's changed?
Oh man, I know the injury bug has definitely got Arizona, but
to a degree.
But outside of that, I mean, not much has changed. If you were to tell me at the start of this year that Arizona is actually going to be worse than last year or potentially worse than last year, I would have said no way. I mean, all we've heard about is the depth. Especially on the defensive side of the ball. And now we're at this point where it's like we look at the recruiting class and say, man, Arizona needs all the help they can get defensively because they have no depth. None of the guys they have on that side of the ball is really producing. I don't know.
Losing PJ Johnson was a big deal for this team. I mean, it's sort of ancient history now, but he was a real impact player for them on the defensive front. He could have come back for another year. He elected to go pro. He did get drafted. He's currently not, on a team. We were talking before the podcast about how Isaiah Hayes is another guy who could have helped this team, I think, on the back end of the defense, but he elected to grad transfer, to Louisville. But you know what? That happens to everybody. You know, I mean, there are personnel losses to the draft and other schools, especially now with the NCAA transfer portal. You have to have the infrastructure to deal with that stuff. And, you know, it's been proven that they don't, at least on the defensive side of the ball, where they've really regressed in the last couple outings. Like they were respectable despite the final scores against Washington and USC, but man, those first halves against Stanford and Oregon State, just not good enough to win.
Well, and it also really tells you something a week later when Oregon State, I mean, then they only score 7 points against Washington this past weekend.
None offensive either. It was a
defensive
six.
Touchdown. Yeah. So they don't score any points offensively. And then the week prior, they have almost 400 yards of total offense
in the first half.
At Arizona Stadium, Oregon State played Washington at home, and Washington was able to come in there and manhandle them.
So
that says a lot about Arizona right now.
Yeah, I mean, we were talking to Tristan Cooper earlier this week, the aforementioned Tristan Cooper, senior safety for the Wildcats, and he was talking about some of the things they've been working on, you know, during the bye week. There's a lot of talk about, you know, like, and we've heard this before, but making sure everyone is doing their jobs, that people are staying in their gaps. This is one of those gap-oriented schemes where, you know, as you know, as a former football player, which I like to bring up on every podcast if I can, that there are certain defenses where gap integrity is super important. And if one of the players gets out of their gap, it creates an opening, or it forces another player to maybe do something that they're not supposed to do and sort of like has like a domino effect. Am I kind of describing that correctly?
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think that's been happening to Arizona's defense. They've also had like major communication issues. There were times in the Oregon State game where it seemed like young players like Christian Roland Wallace maybe didn't know what the call was. Like it looked like he was playing zone and he was supposed to play man, or he thought there was supposed to be help to the inside and there was no help, or the help was late in coming. You know, Tristan Cooper said, we're going to be better in all of those areas this week, now that we've had this bye week and we've had 2 weeks to prepare for Oregon. I'm just not sure it's going to matter in this particular matchup.
Yeah. Well, and I think a big part of it too is your defensive coordinator, Chuck Cecil. I mean, Kevin Sumlin, when I asked him during the press conference, he kind of played it off like, well, you know, Chuck has been here this entire time. He's been in our building. He knows exactly what we expect from him. But he's not coaching these guys hands-on. Yeah, he might have a conversation with them in the hallway, but he's not talking to these guys straight up as a coach to a player. And I think that's what was beneficial in the bye week. And the bye week couldn't have come at a better time for Arizona, because you have these three important games coming up. And if you want to get the communication part better, I mean, you have 2 weeks to get ready for Oregon. The communication can't be an excuse this Saturday against the Ducks. It just can't. It was an excuse against the Beavers, and you did see that. I remember you bringing up Christian Roland Wallace. The one play that I remember, I think it was the first touchdown drive for Oregon State, where he didn't know if it was zone or man, and then after the touchdown, he was like looking around at everyone like, what the hell, guys? So, I mean, that part of it, I think a lot of people should keep an eye on.
Yeah. I mean, it could have come at a better time. It could have come a week earlier, right? They had that extra week heading into the Oregon State game. It might have helped.
Yeah.
But it should help this week. The concern I have, though, is just that matchup in the trenches. You know, Oregon has the best offensive line in the Pac-12 and one of the best in the country, led by Penei Sewell, who's going to play on Sundays, as they say. They're star left tackle. It's a veteran group, and I think if they really wanted to, that they could just smash the ball down Arizona's throats all night long. And it wouldn't surprise me if that was their general approach to things. We saw in that Washington State game, which was a really close game, went down to the wire, required a last minute field goal for them to win, but they looked like a really physical team that night with CJ Verdell. Yeah, doing a lot of the running. I think he had over 200 scrimmage yards in that game. They don't have like an amazing wide receiving core. Their tight end is injured, but great offensive line, veteran quarterback, couple good running backs. I think they're going to try to play smash mouth football against Arizona.
Verdell, did he play last year? I don't remember him in that game last year.
It's hard to remember anyone on Oregon doing anything well in that game. It was just one of those weeks for them where they didn't show up, and Arizona had their number. You could just tell like from the beginning of the game.
Yeah.
Herbert certainly didn't look like a first round pick in that game, and he came back, which was a good decision on his part. I feel like for the most part, if you're a football player and you've got a chance to be drafted, you should go as early as you can. But I think quarterback is a little different because you need to see defenses. You need reps, you know. The more snaps you can take, I think, before you go pro, the better at that particular position, just because experience is so important.
Justin Herbert, I think, is one of the best, if not the best, quarterback in the Pac-12, or at least the most pro-ready. And, you know, you look at the numbers that he's been able to put up this season. Very impressive. 200 of 288 passing, 69.4 completion percentage. He's thrown for over 2,300 yards. He's averaging 8.1 yards per attempt, which is the most since the 2017 season. He also has 24 touchdowns and only 2 interceptions. If you want to talk about a pro-ready quarterback, you got to look at Justin Herbert. Only 2 interceptions on the season. We talk about what are the chances? What are the chances Arizona has? What are the chances Arizona picks off Justin Herbert this Saturday? Because you put this in your most recent Cat Stats. If you could point one of the questions to one stat that has led to Arizona's defensive drop-off, what would it be? Turnovers or lack thereof.
Yeah, they have forced 2 turnovers in the last 5 games, and one of those was a muff punt. So the defense has 1 takeaway in the last 5 games, and it's really hard to win that way. The thing about turnovers is it can kind of mask some of your other issues. I mean, the reason that the Hawaii game was as close as it was is because they took the ball away 6 times. Cole McDonald was very generous that evening in
4 picks.
In Honolulu. And that helped a great deal, obviously. And the stats will say that it's unlikely that Arizona is going to win the turnover battle in this game. Oregon's number 1 in turnover margin in the league. They have the most interceptions in the country. They protect the ball well themselves. So it's yet another reason why this is a really tall task. And also, I think, a reason why it makes sense to hand the reins over to Grant Gunnell in this game. Because if you look at the 2 quarterbacks side by side, Grant Gunnell and Khalil Tate, the biggest difference between them is Grant Gunnell has done a better job of protecting the ball this year. He has 9 touchdowns and 1 interception. Obviously hasn't played as much as Khalil Tate, but Khalil has 12 touchdowns and 8 interceptions. He also has fumbled twice. I think Grant fumbled once and recovered it, that kind of killer play at Stanford. But that's 10 turnovers for your senior quarterback. So it doesn't seem like a lot, but when you look around the country, you see a lot of guys who have 1 interception, 3 interceptions the whole season. And, you know, they goes without saying, obvious as can be, cannot turn the ball over a bunch of times in this game and have any chance of competing.
I was talking to U of A commit Will Plummer, who's a quarterback commit for the 2020 class, and I asked him about Nomazzoni, what he likes about his offense, and he said it's quick hitting, getting the ball out of your hands really fast. And in an offense like that, most of the time, at least one wide receiver is open. At least one guy is always open. I'm curious to find out the time, how many seconds the ball is in the hand for each quarterback. Because to me, it seems like Grant Gunnell gets the ball out of his hands really quick, where Khalil Tate is holding on to the ball, looking to make a play. And in Nomazzoni's offense, I don't think it works. In Rod Smith's offense, who's his old offensive coordinator, that might work under Rich Rodriguez. So I don't know. I just think with the type of offense Nomazzoni has in place, it's almost like, Khalil, you have to adjust to us. We can't adjust to you. And if Nomazzoni isn't going to change his offense for Khalil Tate, and if this is the plan that is set in place, if Grant Gunnell's your guy, you got to go with him. And you went into the numbers, and I think the numbers show Grant Gunnell is your dude. And the fact, and I get so frustrated talking about this because, you know, at the start of last year, Khalil Tate was on the cover of Sports Illustrated, handed the Heisman. And now here we are in his last season at Arizona. We're entering, the ninth game of the season, or the tenth game of the season, and we have quarterback competition. The fact that there's quarterback competition between a true freshman and a guy who's on the cover of Sports Illustrated as a Heisman candidate. The fact that we're in this position right now says to me that you got to put Greg Gannell in.
We could easily,
there's no going back.
We could easily do an entire podcast about this particular topic. But real quick, you know, the question that people always ask me all the time, still to this day, is what happened to Khalil Tate? Like, how did he go from being, like you said, this Heisman candidate to the place where he is now? It is a very complicated topic. Like, we could spend 30 to 45 minutes discussing it.
SportsCenter was doing like these little feature hype videos at the start of last season.
Of course, sure. But regarding the specific thing you mentioned about like the structure of the offense and so forth, has Noah Mazzone bent enough? Has he adjusted his scheme enough to the talents of the player? How much of that is a factor in this whole thing versus how much is Khalil not being willing to adapt his game to what Noah Mazzone wants to do? I think they tried to meet in the middle, and for whatever reason, it just didn't work out the way that they had hoped. And that's been a great disappointment to a lot of people. As we were talking about before the show, I find it a little sad, honestly, because there was so much hope and there was the ceiling was beyond the roof, right?
Michael Jordan.
I mean, the ceiling was so high with Khalil Tate, like at his best. And we even saw it in glimpses this year, you know, and he played great at Colorado. He's had 3 100-yard rushing games. But the inconsistency has dogged him for these last two seasons and even at the tail end of 2017. Like last year, he couldn't run as well as he was accustomed to. He seemed to improve as a passer. This year, his running has been better, but he's held the ball too long, taken too many sacks, and he's, you know, thrown too many interceptions in untimely moments. So it's unfortunate. I think he's going to play, whether that's starting or off the bench the rest of the way here. It would be a shame if he wasn't able to participate in Senior Day to some degree or the Territorial Cup one last time. But, you know, the finish to his career just isn't what we envisioned it being when he was on that amazing roll in 2017.
Now, I know it's not a similar situation, but I was watching the Baltimore Ravens game this past weekend. They had some plays where both RG3 and Lamar Jackson were in at the same time.
I like where you're going with this.
Listen, I'm not saying that, oh, these two guys are the same quarterbacks. Maybe they could find a way. But if there's a way where you can have Grant Gannell and Khalil Tate in at the same time, maybe we see that against Oregon.
How about, like, I think it's worth trying at least once, right? Put Grant in the shotgun, JJ on one side, Khalil on the other. Khalil goes in motion, maybe. Throw a lateral to him. And JJ runs a wheel route to the other side. I don't know. What do you have to lose? Try it.
Nothing. Do it. So Arizona, Oregon, we'll talk about that game coming up.
Amazingly enough, not the latest game of the day on Saturday.
It's not?
It's not, no.
Oh, my goodness.
USC and Cal kick off at 9 o'clock Mountain Time.
That's ridiculous. I love it. I love it. And the game's on national TV. Both Arizona, Oregon, and USC Cal on national TV.
Yeah.
For the folks out there on the East Coast, they get to watch it as they're going to bed. So let's start off with our Pac-12 picks.
Yep.
Unfortunately, Ryan Finley is not here today, so he will not be a part of the panel. But Lev and I, we're going to break down Pac-12 games and provide our predictions. First off, this Saturday, Stanford taking on Wazoo in Pullman. Kickoff set for 2:30 p.m. down here in Tucson. Games on Pac-12 networks, and I don't know, man. I don't know who to pick. I think this game is a flip of the coin. What do you think, Lev?
I like Washington State. I think they're going to be angry over that officiating fiasco from last week against Cal.
Yeah.
I think they just have a more explosive offense. The game is up there. Stanford is going to try to, play a lower scoring type of game. Their style of play, it's one of these games where it's a battle of tempos and styles. And I think Washington State will impose its style on Stanford and will come away with a win, which would put them at 5-5. They're both 4-5 heading into the game. someone asked on, I don't know if it was on Twitter or somewhere else, like if there was a scenario where all of these teams in the middle in the pack could all finish 6-6. I have not looked through the schedule. I'm not going to do that because I don't want to, you know, give myself like an aneurysm, but it would be kind of cool if it did happen. But like games like this lead me to believe that it's going to be hard because one team's going to walk away 5-5 and the other's going to be 4-6 and really facing an uphill battle, to gain bowl eligibility.
Anthony Gordon, is one of three Pac-12 quarterbacks to be named to the Davey O'Brien, semifinalist, list. So, if there's anything Washington State can hang their hat on, they got one hell of a quarterback.
They always do. He passed for what? What did I say? He passed for 400 plus yards, last week and like a couple touchdowns and they lost.
That's the most Washington State ever.
How does that happen?
So I'm going to go. I'm with you, Lev. I'm going to go with the Cougars. I like Anthony Gordon and I think Wazoo pulls it off at home. Next game, ASU against Oregon State. This is a tough one because the Sun Devils looking to get that one win so they could become bowl eligible. They had a disappointing finish last week against USC. They were down by three scores and they rallied back and almost won that game, but a late game interception cost them the game. And then Oregon State, on the other hand, got thumped by Washington at home. So motivation for both teams. Lev, who do you got?
I'm going to take the Sun Devils on the road.
Ooh.
Jaden Daniels is supposed to come back for this game, which obviously would be a big deal. I think they're just the more desperate team right now. They can feel their season slipping away. They've had three underwhelming performances in a row. Two of them were on the road. I think you're encouraged if you're Arizona State by the way you came back against USC. I mean, they held them to 3 points after that, you know, that wild, and loose first quarter in which they gave up 28. So I think they're capable of pulling this off. An encouraging season for Oregon State, still a chance to become bowl eligible. But Washington showed that, you know, if you play the right style of defense, get really physical with them, get physical with their receivers, that you can slow them down. And I think that Arizona State can try to replicate that.
Yeah, I'm going to go with the Sun Devils as well. I just think with Jaden Daniels coming back, that's huge, even though it's a freshman. Think about a freshman coming back, and that's a difference maker for the Sun Devils. But he is a difference maker.
He sure is, yeah.
For ASU. And ASU this year, with him at quarterback, they seem to do some pretty good things on the road, with the exception of that Utah game.
Oof,
so,
yeah, that wasn't good.
I'm going to go with the Sun Devils on the road, getting bowl eligible. UCLA taking on Utah in Salt Lake City on Fox. Kickoff is set for 6 o'clock down here in Tucson. How many points are the Utes going to win by? That's the big question. I don't think it's going to be close.
Well, I mean, look, they're 5-1 in the conference and UCLA is 4-2 and the spread is what, 21.5, which shows you what Vegas thinks of UCLA. Not very much. I mean, it's 21. At the moment. I mean, I certainly would be encouraged if I were a UCLA fan by the way things have gone lately. They've kind of turned things around and, things seem to be moving in a positive direction for them, but this is a totally different ball game, than anything that they've faced recently. As we know from watching Arizona football, the schedule matters in a big way. You know, it's a lot of times it's who you play and, you know, Utah is, as I mentioned earlier in the podcast, the most physical team in the league. They're at home. UCLA has run the ball exceptionally well lately. That's kind of been the foundation for their offense with Joshua Kelly. And Utah's going to take that away. They're just not going to let them run. And they're going to force Dorian Thompson-Robinson to beat them. He's been way better of late, but I don't think that's the formula for success for the Bruins. So I think Utah will win. Will they win by more than 21? I'm not sure about that. You know, I can see the game being something like, you know, 34-17. Comfortable win for the Utes.
That's closer than I thought, I think. I don't know.
You see a blowout?
I see this game. Utah's locked in right now. They want to win the South. And a lot of people, like you've mentioned on Twitter a few weeks back, a lot of people aren't really paying attention to them. Everyone wants to talk about the Ducks because, well, they've been a brand name in the Pac-12 for the last decade. And a lot of people are focused on Oregon right now. I think Utah comes out It's not a statement win because it's against UCLA, but I think they go out and blow them out of the water.
But it is, as you mentioned, on national TV, and it is a UCLA team that's nipping on their heels. And if UCLA were to win,
oh boy,
they'd be in control. They would be in control of their fate in the division, which is a crazy thing to think about.
That's
since nuts. They started the year 0-3.
That's nuts. All right, let's look at USC taking on Cal. 9 o'clock kickoff.
This is very, very Pac-12 after dark.
And
yes.
I understand 9 o'clock tip-offs for basketball because basketball games
about 2 hours.
They go by pretty quick. But a football game? I mean,
it's 8 o'clock local.
Good Lord.
So, you know, we're familiar with that phenomenon. We're probably going to experience it again.
But still.
Next week. I got Cal in this one.
Ooh.
Yeah. Well, Chase Garbers is supposed to come back, number one. Number two, I like Justin Wilcox. I think he's a really good coach. I think he knows the personnel at USC pretty well since he used to coach there. You know, obviously the Trojans showed they could win on the road by beating Arizona State last week, but they had to hang on for dear life, in that game. And Cal's going to be really physical with them. They are familiar with the air raid style of offense. They have kind of had Washington State's number here the last couple of years. They just saw them last week, so they know a lot of those concepts. And you know, I was skeptical last week about how hard USC would fight for their coach, and they proved me wrong. But I think Cal's got something to play for this week, and that's bowl eligibility with a win. So I'm going to take the Golden Bears.
They only held Washington State to 20 points last week, whilst also scoring 33. So I would not be surprised if Cal comes back, or if Cal returns this week and wins their second straight game. But it's a late game. Wacky things seem to happen in Pac-12 after dark games. And I think this is going to be a close game. I think Keaton Slovis is really going to spread out the ball and share the love and get all of his wide receivers in the mix. But, and I got the Trojans. I think it's going to come down to special teams. And I will give that nod to USC this weekend. So
sure.
I got the Trojans by a field goal. All right. Then our game, Oregon taking on the Arizona Wildcats. Kickoff is set for 8:30 p.m. down here in Tucson. That game will be on ESPN. So the Wildcats going to be on national TV taking on the Ducks. Listen, I think we're going to see some motivation for Arizona, especially on the defensive side of the ball, because they want to prove that, hey, even though we've had a rough few weeks, this is a team that still has a lot of potential and dudes on that side of the ball. But with that being said, Lev, Oregon had a bye week last week as well. They've had 2 weeks to prepare for Arizona. They're the number six team in the country. And I don't think they're going to overlook Arizona because, like you said, that game last year, they remember it. I saw a story, I think it was Oregon Live posted it. They pretty much said Oregon is in cruise control right now. That's good news if you're Arizona, because if Oregon comes into this game thinking, oh, we're just gonna walk over Arizona, I don't buy it one bit.
No.
I think Oregon wins pretty handily. I don't think it's gonna be like Washington State up in Pullman over the last couple of years where they score 50 points in the first half, but I think the Ducks win maybe 38-14.
Yeah, I've got 42-27. I think that Arizona will be able to move the ball offensively. I think they're going to really struggle on defense. Here's what I want to see, though. Like, we're both just going to sort of chalk this up as a loss for a variety of reasons.
A lot of people are.
How are they going to look in this loss, though? Are they going to play hard? Are they going to play well? Are they going to show some encouraging signs? Give us some reason to believe that maybe they could upset Utah the following week. I think the game is important in that regard, that you come out of it feeling like, you know what? Arizona lost, but they looked pretty good at times in different ways, or the defense played a lot better than we thought they would, or the offense looked really good with Grant Gunnell at quarterback. We need to see some encouraging signs from this team to have any chance of pulling off what would basically, be a miraculous finish here to get into a bowl game. That's what I'm looking for. I'm not expecting them to win. I don't think anyone is. But they need to come away from that game sort of feeling a little bit better about themselves than they did after the homecoming game, which obviously was kind of the rock bottom moment of the season.
Man, and how, if they get blown out, how many people show up to that game against Utah?
Maybe a lot of Utah fans will show up. I don't know.
There are a lot of Utah fans. They travel well.
I mean, what's a, also like, what is a blowout? Is 42-27 my score a blowout? If that was the score and it was sort of competitive throughout,
it's not
like,
a blowout at all.
That's what I'm talking about too, is like, can you compete with this team? Even if you don't win, you know? Cause I don't know. It just felt like, at least on one side of the ball, that they just didn't show up against Oregon State. And that was the most disappointing thing.
That's Oregon State.
Yeah.
Not mm-hmm. Oregon.
Yep.
That's going to be a tough one. Arizona, they have the Oregon Ducks. Kickoff is set for 8:30 p.m. down here in Tucson. You can watch that game on ESPN. But don't forget the Wildcaster app. It's free and available on the App Store and Google Play. All of the coverage on your Arizona Wildcats is at your fingertips. Download the Wildcaster app. Also, make sure you subscribe, rate, and review the Wildcast podcast on Apple Podcasts. For Lev, I'm Justin. Thanks for listening. We want to thank our sponsor, Great Western Bank, a proud supporter of the Wildcast podcast. At Great Western Bank, they focus on serving family-owned businesses and their overall financial needs. Whether your company needs increased working capital, equipment or SBA financing, purchasing or renovating a building or construction financing, Great Western Bank has the expertise to work through your specific financial needs. Visit the Great Western Bank branch on Campbell between Glen and Fort Lowell or call 520-325-1135 to talk to any of the business bankers about your specific needs. Member FDIC.